This is a Collider.com audio interview.
I have to ask, you've been approached to a lot of action adventure and now a lot of fanboy, stuff. How early on did you guys start looking at the mythos of Transformers, and how much of that did really play on final decision making of, how the script was going to come apart?
Well, obviously, we were fans of the cartoons as kids. The minute we decided we were going to take this gig, we got everything that's ever been done by Hasbro. They sold it. They sent us everything, all the comics, all the cartoons. We went over it all, learned it, and then put it away. And what was the second part? How much did it influence? Every iteration has kind of the basic backstory, and so it influenced. I mean, it's part of the movie. It's a distillation, and it's definitely a summary in a way, the first movie. But you can't forget that stuff. It was in our subconscious.
How long ago did you guys start writing the script, and how many drafts did it take to get to the screen?
2 years ago we started. It's so hard to count drafts. It was greenlit on the second draft. And then from there, we just kept improving it and improving it all the way through shooting up until about 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. We're literally still writing robot dialogue 3 weeks ago.
Obviously, Michael had a lot of say into what the story is, but, Steven Spielberg was is supposedly very involved.
It's not that obvious, actually. We wrote that we kind of had the template of the movie before Michael even read it.
So how involved was Mr. Spielberg in the process?
He gave us a kernel of boy in his car. When we first sat down he asked us to do the movie, and we were prepared to say no because we were very worried about it's going to be a giant toy commercial. Everyone's going to cynically approach this movie. They're going to say it's a giant toy commercial, et cetera, et cetera. We were just like, what is it? Close Encounters, we brought up to him. We were like, Close Encounters is great. It's this great big alien movie, but really it's about a family falling apart. It's about a guy's obsession, and it destroys his family. So we were prepared to say we can't do it unless we really see it. And he said, here's the human element. It's boy in his car. And that's all I had to say, and that was enough for us to realize we couldn't say no. And so from that, we extrapolated basically what the template of the paradigm and the structure of the movie is.
How did you go?
And he gave notes on every draft, obviously. I mean, he was a truly involved producer.
I'm sorry. How'd you go from a boy in his car to that incredible story?
Part of it, obviously, is also like there's a rich history of the Transformers, the fact that there's this war that they have on their planet, and all those characters are very much part of the things we know already. So we didn't have to invent too much of that, but the boy in his car allows you to focus in on a point of view that allows you to discover the Transformers through the pace of the movie. A lot like Close Encounters, in a way, you're slowly finding out that there's this phenomenon going on. So that from starting from the boy in his car, and allowed us to realize what the pace and the structure of the movie was going to be, and how the aliens were going to come into the movie and into the perception of the humans.
How did you decide on the tone of the movie?
That was the hardest part. Trial and error. We knew that it had to be infinitely more realistic than the cartoon, yet not lose its sense of fun, and those two things are actually at opposition. So it was absolutely a tightrope walk. That's the whole ballgame right there, is the tone.
Did you make this movie with the intention of just setting up the next one?
No. Our only responsibility in our minds was to set up a good first movie, or a good movie, period, knowing that no story is ever over. I mean, you can think it's over, and they're still going to make a sequel. So we weren't too worried about what it was going to be.
The ending just seemed like a natural segue into what happens next, possibly. I just didn't know if that was something you guys wanted to be attention. Because there's just so many more characters that you can involve into it from all the other.
We knew it was being left open, but we weren't like, okay, we must target all this so that at the end there's a sequel. That was not our responsibility, and we didn't think of it in those terms.
You guys are writing some big ticket items. Do you guys go on? I mean, let's talk about the big elephant in the room, Star Trek. You know what I mean? Do you guys read the online stuff?
Like, yes.
And do you laugh about it? Do you wonder how they get some of their information? And let's talk about, obviously, Trek, because that's a big thing for a lot of people.
Alex has a harder time reading stuff on the net because he takes it very personally. So I'm the designated new media contact. And it's everything. You run the gamut. You read stuff, and you go like, oh my God, how did they get that? Or that's wildly odd. You laugh, you cry, you everything.
So let me ask you, you guys are involved with Trek. I mean, how have you been researching that? How's that been coming? I know you're probably not going to be able to give us, obviously, story points, but...
Well, luckily, we've been researching that all our lives. Like, all those, I mean, You know, we've read the novels. We just had it down cold. So when it came up again, we were covered. We have a green light draft. We finished it at Christmas. It's going. It shoots in November. We're in the middle of casting right now.
When do you think we're going to actually hear casting stuff? Are you going to Comic-Con? Is JJ planning a big thing?
We might announce some stuff at Comic-Con. We should have significant casting by then.
And what's your favorite?
As a follow-up to that,
sure.
I don't know how involved you are to answer this, but isn't it hard to get established actors and stars to come into a franchise where they're playing iconic characters if they are playing young versions of Kirk and Spock?
Hard, you mean to convince the stars, or hard just from the creative point of view to want that?
To convince them.
Or both.
Both.
Or both questions.
Actually, I think it's a little easier to convince established actors. The problem is you're not sure you want them. Like Superman, would that have worked with, you know?
But won't that insinuate that it's a, if they're not going for big stars, that it's therefore the same old Star Trek, won't spend the money, won't bring in the big names to make it happen?
No, we don't insinuate that. You may infer
no,
that.
No, I'm insinuating it, but that the fans might feel that way. Because the whole idea, that the relaunch of it is that, you know, bigger, better, the Star Trek we've always wanted, even as a reboot, and I'm just...
I don't think so, because the star of the movie is Star Trek, you know? So
okay.
I think another way to think of it is that we feel confident in what the material is and what the paradigm of the movie is, that we're not trying to, you know, shove an Academy Award winner down your throat to sell it. Which doesn't mean that we might not end up there, but it's not our first place to go.
Were you going to elaborate on that thing about what big stars might take away from, yes, playing these iconic characters?
They become the story instead of the franchise. Yeah. You know, it becomes a personality issue as opposed to really focusing on the movie. Stars in the right place might help it too. I mean, we're not ruling anything out at this point, casting.
I think Brad Pitt would look real good with Walter.
When you wrote the script, did you guys have a budget in mind, or were you sort of just writing it big and just hoping that you're going to get the budget?
Writing it big, had a budget in mind, very back of our minds. Thanks to our TV training, oddly enough, we're pretty good at calling exactly what something's going to cost. I mean, we told them what Transformers was going to cost before we wrote a word, and we were within $3 million.
So how much was it?
It was like $147. We told them it's going to be $150. That's what it's going to be, and that's pretty much what it was.
How much time did you guys end up spending? I mean, I don't know if you spent in post, just in general. Like, what was that process like?
It's amazing, actually, in this one, because yeah. We got the experience that you usually only get on animated movies, we think, which is, since the robots aren't animated to the last minute, we were able to rewrite their dialogue. You know, normally a writer doesn't get the luxury of rewriting your stars in editing.
Yeah, you can just drop it in and post.
Yeah, so it was amazing for that reason. We were in the editing room, like, able to make stuff better and able to write sequences more specifically.
Where'd you guys do most of that?
At Platinum Dunes, in his editing room.
I'm sorry for going back to this, but your favorite Star Trek show and Alex's?
I'm actually a Next Generation fan myself, and I think he's more classic.
Okay, and what's your feeling, though, with all... I'm sorry, again, that's a thing for a lot of us I want to know, but what's your feeling about all the fans going on about Kirk and Spock and just everyone not being able to accept that it's going to be a reboot? And you know, how do you... Is there any frustration on your end?
No. I understand it, just like I understand how everyone thinks Transformers is going to be a toy commercial and it's not until they see it. Know that it's factored into our thinking that people are afraid of whatever it's going to be, and that whatever the criticisms are, without confirming or denying anything, we're aware of them, and they are part of the fabric of the story. That's all I can say.
Let me bring up the thing that I'm sure they're going to hate me constantly bring it up, but this was my experience this week. Transformers means nothing to me. Fantastic Four, that's what I grew up on, okay?
Right on.
And what was really interesting to me experiencing this movie was that everything I hated about the Silver Surfer movie, I loved about this one. You know, it seemed to have just the right balance of taking this idea of cars that turn into space robots, you know, which I find intrinsically ridiculous. but, you know, it put it just, you know, it had so much fun with it, you know, and was almost satirizing the ridiculousness of it. But, you know, then it got into the really cool looking shit. And it was exactly the complaint and everything I hated about the Silver Surfer movie.
Huh.
It's too lighthearted about it, you know, and it's a much worse movie on every level, of course.
Huh.
But what I'm asking you is, you talked about tone a little bit earlier. What about the humor, and what about acknowledging within the film that, boy, this is really ridiculous, but we've got to acknowledge it, but we've also got to get past that, you know. And
so kind of two points of view on that. So from the point of view of Shia's character in the boy in his car, we wanted him to be take it more seriously. His reactions and McKenzie are very much like the wonder of, you know, like Marty McFly was a great model for us.
Yeah,
there was
genuine
humor in that, but he was absolutely genuine in his reactions. The government side was something that could have seemed sort of infinitely more self-important and whatever, you know, tonally imbalanced, for lack of a better word. So that's where we played a little bit more in terms of, so the soldiers take it very seriously, but then you get a character, you know, like John Turturro,
mm-hmm.
Where sort of a riff on the Men in Black and a riff on the secret government. And, you know, the one big conceit, the one big buy you get in this is the giant robots, and pretty much past that, you're not going to get a whole lot more of a suspension. So that's where we use a little bit of the room to have fun with it and to, you know, engage in that way. But that, I mean, that was the ball game, as we were saying. That's
and the parents
the two.
Were amazing.
And the parents, yeah. I love them. They're great.
They were great.
What was the inspiration for the parents? Either of yours or...
No, seriously.
Ron and Judy are my in-laws.
Are they really?
That's their names. Ron and Judy are. We named them after my in-laws.
Were you doing that kind of element also to like bring the parents that bring their kids into it, to give them something a little bit? Did you want to kind of provide something for every demographic with this? Because it seems really broad. Like you have, you know, the really hardcore action, then you have the comedy, then you have the kind of jokey family stuff. You know, all those elements.
Maybe subliminally, and certainly the studio would want that. But if you're a 17-year-old who's going to go get a car, you have parents. They're just.
Well, yeah.
So
yeah.
It would be an omission not to have them. It wasn't like, well, we need to have a parent, but.
Well,
it happens to fulfill.
Really, like it was a full, you know, chunk of the movie, right?
Yeah.
Seeing the house, so it was really, you know, a part of it.
I think that was also Michael Bay's favorite part. That was the thing he wanted to. That's why he locked in on. He's like, "This is gonna be my first kid's movie. This is his kid's movie."
That's a good way to start.
As lifelong fans of, I'm going back to Trek. As lifelong fans of that, what was it like?
I want to talk about the Fantastic Four.
What was it like to get the keys to the kingdom?
Insane. I mean, it's like getting a Lamborghini. It's crazy. It was insane. Terrifying, but safety in numbers, too. You know, we're doing it with J.J. Abrams and Damon Lindelof, both the creators of Lost. And we knew that if the four of us, five of us couldn't do it, then that was it.
How involved is Damon in the process?
He was very involved. We riffed story with him very early on. And he's a gigantic fan as well. In fact, he said that the inspiration for Lost was Trek.
And I was going to ask you about like the tone for the Star Trek that you're creating. Is it more, are you looking to keep it on the same tone as the previous ones, or are you looking to kind of take it to that more darker, raw aspect of where Batman Begins went? Like, where they take
No, I don't know about darker, but definitely to update the tone.
Okay. Going back to Transformers, the you said, I think you've been quoted somewhere that you guys are not writing the sequel. Someone else is going to be doing that. Any reason why you guys chose not to go back to write the second film?
You know, as a screenwriter, we're going to be lucky to live through this one. I mean, we knew going in that it was going to be like, oh, it's a toy commercial. Oh, the action is all what's going to sell it. The story's not part of it. The dialogue's irrelevant. The screenwriter's irrelevant. And that's if it's a good movie. That's if people like it. Forget about it if they hate it. So we were lucky to live through it. We did our duty for God and country. And if we really knew what the next one should be, that would be a different thing. But we don't want to just do it just because we're like... Hey, we did the first one, and we should do this. You know, if we come up with something great, great. But we want to have a reason to do it, not just say it's a business, it's a franchise. We're going to go do the second one because that's what we do, and you're going to get the big money. You know, and Star Trek, by the way, is taking up kind of all of our time. So,
when you guys came up with using the Secretary of Defense, were you guys thinking of Donald Rumsfeld? Was it like part of the?
You mean you can't escape it? You know.
Yeah, nice job with Bush, by the way. That was pretty fine.
Is that in the script?
Yeah.
Okay. The Spanish dialogue, I'm assuming you're the one who brought, but that's fine, because it was hilarious, you know, looked like Dominican.
Uh-huh.
Was that all you, because you're...
Alex speaks Spanish, too.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, he lived in Mexico City for a year.
Did you guys do much writing, once the big action starts in the movie, or in a sequence, did you guys write it out much, or just...
It's very detailed.
Chase down the freeway?
No, it's very detailed.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm sure the script will get out someday, check it out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of the moves and a lot of the actions were first written in the script.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Michael takes it to another level.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't just write big friggin' chase here. You got to kind of block it
well,
out.
Well, you know, you hear a lot of action movies that is all that's in the script. So, I was just curious.
Are you guys going to be day-to-day involved in Trek, or are you also working on another project?
We're working on multiple things, but we're going to be day-to-day on Trek. We're also executive producing it. So,
I have to ask about, you just mentioned, you know, about the script. Did the experience of Transformers, with early script reviews getting up there, has that affected the way you guys are guarding the Star Trek script?
You bet your ass. You bet, yeah. Especially since Star Trek is much more dependent on the story being fresh. You know, Transformers, we knew that even if it leaked, you were not going to be able to imagine Transformers until you saw it. The spectacle does buy us a little bit of leeway in terms of even if you know what's going to happen. Trek does not have that gimme. Trek's been around, people have seen it, so it's infinitely more important that the story be new when you get to it, because it does matter.
So how do you guard it nowadays with the internet and with all the leaks? No, being serious,
yeah,
though, how...
What is your biggest... Like,
we have encryption programs, right? We have a trusted made man fly it everywhere, like he's like the mob boss in Casino and with the handcuff. I mean, it's... You know,
is it really becoming an issue, would you say, these days with just the advent of technology?
It is.
Do you have to give away more of the show? Like do you give away like parts of a movie out just to like satisfy people so they're not digging and getting things in?
No, try not to. However, the odd experience of having stuff leak on Transformers made us engage.
Really?
The internet fans, because we had to.
Yeah.
And that was a good experience.
Thank you, Ron.